happiness in life comes from figuring out what you love to do and then working it, honey. Our friend, 81-year-old Hattie, was born to be a healer. So she made it happen as a dance instructor, a therapist, or in the bedroom as a silver sex cougar. Wow.
Years ago, Hattie stole the spotlight from Claudia Schiffer in a Dolce & Gabbana ad with her silver sexiness. And since then, she's become an outspoken advocate for cougars. Today, Hattie, safe and sound from her home in Manhattan, joins us to talk about her roller coaster life as a sex symbol.
Listen as Hattie joins us to talk about going topless on the Howard Stern Show.
Choosing your own age in your mind.
And protecting yourself from insults and heartbreaks. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Wow.
You know something? You gotta get up early in the morning to catch a fox. But you gotta stay up late at night to get a mink.
Oh, why don't you come up and see me sometime? There's something eternally delightful about Mae West, who spent her whole life as an unapologetic sex symbol. Mae captured the national spotlight first as a curvy blonde film star in the 1930s and sustained it all the way through her life up into the 70s as a counterculture queer icon. Mae's wonderful humor, sexual appetite, and spirit lives on in our next guest, the fashion model best known as Hattie. Before we begin, let's listen to a little bit of Mae West singing about one of her favorite topics, men. The song is from her album, Great Balls of Fire, which was released by Mae West in 1972 when she was at the tender young age of 79. Mae kept it all up, all the way up till 1978 in the film Sextet, where she famously seduced a young Tom Selleck. 2 years later, Mae West passed away at the age of 87.
I'll take them big and small, red and blue and short and tall, lots of men. I'll take them in the kitchen, in the lounge or in the hall, lots of men. I like them straight. Around the rocks, lots of men.
Hello.
Hi, is this Hattie?
You bet it is.
Hi, Hattie, it's Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun. How are you today?
Oh, well, today I'm in New York and the sun is shining, so I guess it's time for me to shine too.
Aw, just shine inside, okay?
Yes, well, I do that because I'm not likely to get it because I haven't had any symptomology, and also I'm a health food fanatic, but I don't want to go out there and mess anybody else's life up, so I'm cool.
Yeah, you're staying safe.
Yeah.
Well, you came to our attention because you are an international sex symbol. At the tender young age of 83, you were making the news and going around the talk show circuit as a woman.
Yes.
Who is very frank and open about dating and being sexual with very significantly younger men.
Significantly younger and a significant number. And this has been going... We don't mean 69. I'm talking about a lot of guys.
Quantity and quality.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I preferred quality. And I was aiming for quality as soon as I got divorced about 30 years ago. However, times were very different, and I thought that a guy would fuck me like my husband did and then propose marriage. Well, I got the first part of it, but not the second, and I still haven't.
Well, did you want these younger men to propose marriage to you? Did you fall in love with
any
of them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. Yeah, I did. But the thing was that I was not thinking of myself as an older woman. In fact, I only started thinking that way last year.
And what changed for you?
Well, what happened is I went on Tinder. I wasn't going to go on Tinder because I was told it was a hookup site and that's not what I was interested in. Mm-hmm. But I was with two young women and they said they found their life mate on Tinder, so I went right on. And then I got a lot of dates and I realized, it didn't take me long to realize that these guys were interested in fucking. And since that's what I wanted and to have initially plus something else, I only got the fucking. So I said, okay, so this is the way it is. It's fucking flee or come and go. I have to just accept that, and nobody's proposing.
So you took people at where they were at?
Yeah.
Work with the materials you have and not the materials you wish you had.
Yeah, I have found in my particular life, I would never, ever have fathomed that I'd be famous at 81 for fucking. I mean, this is like really off the charts. It's not only the road that's traveled, it's the road that isn't traveled, and I want to kind of make more footprints on it.
Well, how did you get here to this point?
It really, really came out of the blue. I was married for 25 years. In fact, I thought that everything would just evolve from that, and it was a till death do I part. That was in 1958, so you know, I was teaching at Brown University. I was teaching dance,
wow.
Took some courses in dance, met my future husband. We were both dancers. We looked into each other's eyes, then we went to other parts of the anatomy, and we got married. We stayed married for 25 years.
You dancers have the moves.
Yes, we did. Now, I was practically a virgin. I only had been with one man once before that. And so as far as I knew, everyone was having sex twice a day. I didn't know. My husband comes at me with a hard dick. I'm wet. So, hello, that's as good as it gets. And the kids would always say, my mommy and daddy are resting because the door to the bedroom would be closed a lot. So we went on with a very fine marriage. We had a dancing school. We had our own home, children, trips, all that. And at 25 years, he said to my daughter, I'm going to divorce your mother. And the reason was, in order to make money to send my kids to college, I went to shrink school. And he was in shrink school. And he was getting $9 an hour because he was a, you know, training shrink. And I was getting $100 because everybody was coming to me to hear this or hear that. And that was in the 1980s, $100 a session. So he was very threatened and he just got upset. And I decided, if you're going to use the word divorce, I'm getting out of the bed. So I did. Then all sorts of things happened. I said, I don't miss cooking. I don't miss my children. I don't miss getting dressed up and going to the theater with my husband or dinner. I miss sex. So in those days, we didn't have the internet. I put an ad in the paper.
Who was the first guy that you met?
That's really great because I have all this in my new book. I'm not telling his actual name, but I'm a variation. His name was Moshe. He was an Israeli security guard. Mm. And he was, I was 55 and he was 35. No?
Yeah.
Under 35. Because that was the ad. I wrote, you know, silken skin, blonde beauty, because my hair was blonde, you know, bit of yellow and the white. And I'm a former dancer, seeks supremely sexual younger man, 35 and under. And so I met Moshe, and I wasn't that attracted to him, but I said, what's your name? He said, Moshe. I said, oh my God, that was my former husband's first name. I said, what about your Hebrew name? He said, Moshe. I said, wow, that was my former husband's Jewish name. I said, what about in Hebrew? And he said, Moshe. I said, oh my God, when's your birthday? So when he told me it was the same time, same day as my former husband's birthday, I said, okay, we'll figure this out in bed.
You know, there's a saying that Cervantes, he wrote Don Quixote.
I know who Cervantes is. I never slept with him, but I heard he was cool.
He said, one nail removes another nail. The best way to get over a broken heart is to find a new nail to pound into your wood.
Okay, that makes sense. Pounding is okay, too, but there's all sorts of techniques.
Or gently
now
sliding
in. Now that you mention it. Well, what happened was, since I was really basically a virgin and my parents were immigrants and we didn't speak about sex and I was a dancer and an actress, so that whole opening, so to speak, was open. And so I likened sex to love. And actually, I hate to tell you, to this day, I had to stop that association, but I still feel that I want sex and love together. Mm. Didn't get them, so I love my cat and have sex with men.
I believe patchwork.
I said to my granddaughter, you know, when I was praying for a man to be in bed with me, I should have specified two legs. I have a cat. A male cat sleeps with me.
I believe that we are on Earth put to tell the same story or to teach the same things over and over in different ways. And no matter what job we have, we wind up doing the same thing.
It's a brilliant observation. And it's a very destiny-controlled observation. And in fact, it's proven true in my life.
But you see yourself primarily as a healer. So it's interesting that your life began as a dancer, then as a mother, then as a therapist, and now as a sex icon and a teacher.
Right. That's right.
And in terms of that long journey that you've had and continue to have to this day, what lessons are you teaching the men that you have sex with, the people that you talk about your sexual life with today?
I mostly influence and inspire younger women. Mm-hmm. Because what happens with time, in all ways, nature decides to prepare you for the end. It's very subtle. So I say, well, I know I'm going to die, but I choose not to corrode. And so I was a health food. I was a health food fanatic since the 60s. I spoke in front of Congress. So there you go again. It's the healer. And I told them, if you poison the soil, you will end up with a sick population. Naturally, they didn't listen. And now there's other serious things. So I'm a spokesperson for organic food, against Monsanto, against Bayer. So along with this vibrant sexuality, and I don't mind being called a slut or any of those things, because if you have dignity and you really, really love the earth and love its people and have the benefit and the privilege of making a difference, then you just feel secure and confident and vibrant and loving and hot and beautiful.
And for you, it's kind of like you're tying your sexuality, your fitness, your diet. It's all one and the same.
Yes, it is.
What kind of food are you making at home?
Well, I don't really cook that much.
So you eat at McDonald's all the time, but you eat a vegan
burger. No. I mean, I'm not into a multiple ingredients.
Okay. So you eat out, but you look for whole foods, well, whole grains, that lots of vegetables.
Well, no. When I say I don't cook very much, is I eat raw in my blender.
Oh, so
I don't go out to eat that much. Especially not now. But if I do go, it has to say non-GMOs. I'm fanatic about that because to me, to insult my body with something it can't handle, I ain't doing that.
Well, they say that like it's impossible to find a tomato or a soybean or anything with wheat or rice or any grains today that are not genetically modified to some degree.
It's not impossible at all.
Yeah.
There's an organization I've been with for about 20 years called Cornucopia, and now it's called Organic Eye. So I've really been deep in that. I say deep in that shit because fertilizer is shit, but my passion for deep, deep health, and that's where the orgasms come from, and that's where the love and the care. I feel that all that intimacy is an honor to the joy and the exquisiteness and the pleasure of life. But if you're not well, you can't feel any of that. So I guess it was my life force that made me turn only to things that would enrich my life, enrich my body.
Before the coronavirus pandemic took place and kind of, you know, socially isolated all of us in our homes, what was your sex life? What was your life like?
Well, I don't know if your people know how all this started. I was doing therapy with a patient, and in the middle of the session, I think 7 years ago, and she says, Hattie, I own a talent agency. Dolce & Gabbana wants an older, sexy woman in an ad. Go. Mm. So I go. And I'm in a bathing suit, and Steve Klein, very hot photographer, really decides that even though I'm an extra, he wants to really use me. So he sits me down, and I was in late 70s, and he puts this young, buff weightlifter next to me in his 20s with little briefs, and he says, look at Hattie adoringly and hold her hand so that it looks like you two are a hot couple. And so it goes in vogue. Vanity Fair, Harper's Bazaar, W. And my daughter said, Mom, use the word cougar. It's industry standard. The fact that you're not cheating and you're not lying and never had an affair, that you know. But you can put yourself out there as a hot number, and then anything you say, people will listen to. And that's what happens.
So you unintentionally became a cougar spokesperson.
Yeah, I took on the word.
Yeah.
I didn't fight the word.
And so how did people change the way they listen to you?
They don't change. It says, oh, my God, that's what I wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. I want to know that when I'm old or older, that I'm hot, that I keep having orgasms, that I'm wet and I'm alive and there's possibility. You know, I say that your first youth is a gift from nature, and your lifelong youth is a gift from yourself.
Mm, I love that so much. And part of it is, you know, it's so easy to discredit or postpone taking care of yourself. I have too many friends and family, and I find this, you know, everybody that I know does this to some degree. They're like, I will start dieting, or meaning I will eat better tomorrow. I will work out tomorrow. I will masturbate tomorrow.
I'll tell you, baby, they're not walking around their house naked with mirrors. It's like a gentle reminder.
Is your house covered in mirrors? Do you have a mirror above your bed?
One of my apartments was, but this one just has mirrors. And I make sure to stare at myself in the mirror. And then if I hate something, I say, well, this is really bothering me, and it is what it is, and now what can I do? And also, as things change when you get older, wrinkles or varicose veins or something, I say to myself, you must love and appreciate and have gratitude for this healthy woman that you are.
Yeah.
And so is this your priority? Is having no hair on your legs a priority? No. You come to start honoring and enjoying masturbation, whatever, enjoying what your body can do for you. Ask not what ask what you can do for your body, and I tell you, your body will give you back. Kennedy told me that.
Well, I know you like dancing between the sheets, and you are a trained dancer. Are you still dancing otherwise these days?
Well, I would dance salsa and reggae.
Is the dancing what kind of keeps you young? Because I look at people like Madonna, who's 60, or I look at Cheetah Rivera, who's still
Cheetah
like 80.
Cheetah Rivera is an astonishing human being. Mm-hmm. She has had, I think, every joint replaced. But her passion is so powerful. No, it's dancers do, by the way. Dancers and athletes need joint replacements. It's not people who are lazy. They get heart condition and cancer, but their joints are fine because they don't move.
Mm.
So, what happens is, as you said, there's something that's given to you when you're born. And with Madonna, she wants to show the power of a woman, and she is showing it. And with Cheetah Rivera, she's Hispanic, and so she's had a lot of prejudice leveled at her. And so she's saying, I'm Hispanic, you know, like nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. And look, and she dances her passion for life. That's what gives you the energy, the choreography. You know, sometimes I'll be dancing for a video, and then I look at it afterward. I said, how did I do that?
Well, part of it is you're listening to your body, and you're letting your body move through the space in reaction to the music. And for a lot of people, just giving themselves permission to do that is a very difficult thing to overcome. I'm always enamored by the story and the films of Mae West.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I see a lot of her in you. She really unapologetically held on to this image of herself in her 20s, and she stayed a sex symbol, at least if not in her audience eyes, in her own mind, to the very end of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's just so endearing.
Mel Brooks said, if God meant the genitals to think, he'd have put a skull over them. And I tell women, you really think your dick is looking at your thigh and saying, I can't fuck her, she's got cellulite. Mm. The dick doesn't think that. If they're turned on, then the issue of age disappears. You have to make sure that your energy, and they have to make sure that your energy gives them a boner. And once that's so, after that, the body knows what to do. Now, if all sorts of ideas come into the head, oh, I'm too old, or I haven't shaved my pussy this week, or I don't make a lot of money, or this or that, I'm too fat, one thing you can't do is smell. I'm a fanatic about only delicious smells. That's very big with me. But you can't be judging yourself and also be with a man or a woman if you're a lesbian or gay. You have to say, this woman, this body, this being, this energy is hot. And that man, his dick, his libido, he wants it, and so do I. And it matches.
Maybe this is my perspective of being in my 30s or 40s, whatever, depending on.
No, it makes a difference. You're in your 30s or your 40s. Don't lie about your age. You're in your 40s, you're still totally virile.
Hey!
Yeah, I know, honey. I've done a lot of undercover research on this one. You're still fine.
Well, thank you, darling. But what I'm saying is I notice that a lot of young people have a very complicated and anxious relationship to sexuality today. I noticed that there's a lot of angst that is coming from younger people today where they're not, part of it is like we were working for the sexual revolution so people could freely express their sexuality. We created devices and tools for them to find someone else to have sex with. And what's really funny is that you never know how younger generations are going to react. And they're mostly reacting saying, no, thank you. They're kind of just going,
maybe to you.
But I know, and the iPhones and all that.
So, but do you pick up on that a lot of young people today are not as sexual as we were in their time?
No, they're not. Yeah. They're not. And they're not masturbating.
And why do you think that's happening?
Because there's something about the pleasure at the body and what it feels and what it can experience. That's being lost. Fashion and facelifts and surgery, the people are not sensing their inner sexuality, their inner eroticism. They don't turn to it. I remember, I've had years of feeling depression. And with my husband, if I got depressed, he said, what can I do, Hattie? I said, fuck. A physical uplifting, it's very bound to the universe and energetic in the universe. But with all the interruptions of the phone and the TV and the internet and all that, intimacy is gone. Nudity is gone. Now, I'm funny. I say not porn no, porn yes.
Say yes to the porn.
Because a lot of times this stuff is being blamed on, for example, in Japanese culture, a lot of young people are very anxious about developing sexual relationships or any relationships. And I noticed this in the United States here that there's a lot of young people who not only are they not wanting to be sexual, they're taking on the identity of asexuality. They're taking on the identity that they're not, other types of identities that aren't just about connecting with somebody on a physical level. They're saying that they're intellectually romantic.
There's less and less romance. And also the pleasure of the body is not there because people are terribly judgmental. Also, they get sick a lot. When I was on the Howard Stern show, I was on twice. When I got off, I said to my tits, girls, the best thing about you, two best things. One is that there are two of you. And the second is that you nursed my children. So the whole value of the eroticism, the pleasure, the letting go of judgment, the letting go of all sorts of things, people do not let go. They hold on to ideas. They hold on to all sorts of things. And they are not saying, this is what I really want. And I don't give a shit what society says. I'm going for it. Now, men have done that for years. You could have a guy with a huge gut hanging over his stomach, and he can't see his dick, but he could see his wallet. So the exchange at that point was the woman would fuck, like, why not? She could also have an attachment to her father, and she has a life, and she can have kids, and she can have a credit card. But the other was not okay. So one of the problems is feminism. Women, and feminists are not thrilled with me, women are reluctant to see themselves as sex items, sex figures, sex toys, anything, because they think this belittles them.
Well, there's many waves of feminism. I mean, there's first wave, which was about the right to vote. The second right. wave, which was about the right to workplace equality. And I think the third right. wave feminism is about reclaiming your body and your sexuality and addressing racism, too, which is also tied to the body as well.
Well, you know, the name of my next book, I'm looking for a publisher now. It's called Shattering the Glass Mattress, A Cougar's Journey to Sexual Liberation.
All right.
Shattering the Glass Mattress. And yeah. you guys realize that if you see a woman in her 80s speaking like me, behaving like me, joking about it, being filthy, dirty, vulgar, it does not matter. Because I'm saying it with humor, with joy, with gratitude. And it's like, gee, she's got something there and she's old and maybe I don't have to be afraid of wrinkles. You see, now, Jane Fonda is an astonishing human being, truly so. And I am not negative towards all her facial surgery. She feels that for herself, she has to be this young and put out that image. But meanwhile, any number of younger people want to emulate a vision of beauty. And so now they're showing heavier people or whatever. The heavy woman may behave as if she's accepting her heaviness, but she's not so sure the man will. And the fact is, the man will.
Mm-hmm.
Women are more critical of themselves than any guy with an erect dick will be.
Do you think there's a double standard? I mean, when you see like older men with younger women versus older women with younger men?
Well, of course, it's totally unbalanced. Yeah. That's what I said on the RuPaul show. I said, you know, I'm talking to the audience, you know, everyone has heard of older men and younger women. That's accepted. But I had to balance the scale. Someone has to do it. And the audience totally cracked up.
This is the short-lived daytime talk show that RuPaul had a year ago or so?
Yeah. I was one of the guests. He said to me, you know, Hattie, many times there are men who are attracted by mature women. I said, hold on there, RuPaul. I said I was old. I didn't say I was mature.
So what kind of guys do you swipe right on Tinder?
No more.
Well, I mean, during the coronavirus pandemic, we're going to stay at home, but eventually this will come to an end. And, you know, you got to have
not Tinder.
No,
I'm going to go on Match.
Okay. Because you're wanting to develop it, not just a sexual relationship, but you're wanting to have a regular love interest there.
And I want an extraordinary man so that we could couple and make the kind of glorious difference we can make on the planet. That turns me on. My dancing school, I taught hundreds of people, thousands maybe. So this has to be probably a man whose wife has died. Maybe a musician, a philosopher, somebody whose life has been dedicated like mine is, and he wants a woman with him.
Do you think that part of the reason that you're putting yourself out there in terms of talk show appearances and publishing books is, you know, you're such a golden, precious, amazing person, and you're one in a million, and you got to find your other one in a million?
Yeah, well, I have been featured in magazines, and every time I'm in something, I say, he's going to see me. My last video was seen by 23 million people.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, one kid's going to say, hey, Dad, this is the one. Look, Dad. But it hasn't happened yet, but I'm not giving up hope on that, because I do believe that just as I lust for making love and taking love, I'm sure there must be a man out there who feels the same, and I'm trusting the magnetism of the universe to bring us together for the world, not just for each other.
Mm. But part of it is, like, I noticed that when people are applying for jobs, when they're reaching out to somebody who inspires them on social media, they tend not to do that because being rejected on some conscious and unconscious level is very painful. And like for me, even reaching out to you to do the podcast, I admired you from afar for years. And it was you reaching out to me and saying, hey, I'm just sending you love. I hope you're okay. And I was like, wow, Hattie is a real person. Would you please come on the podcast and talk to us? Because part of me was like, I was like, this woman is being sought after so many people. She's very busy. I don't want to bother her, but I admire her. I love her. I love everything that she has to say. And I just feel like I didn't reach out to you aggressively enough sooner because in some ways I didn't want to experience that rejection either explicitly or implicitly.
Okay, so I make up words.
Yeah.
The first word I made up was retroage, and I own it. It's registered through the government. And it is retroage, that you become the age you really feel that you're most connected to. And you do that. And you're not judging it by whether your hair gets white, or you're judging it by what your spirit feels, your spirit and your energy. So naturally, I work out and eat well, but it's that spirit. So you decide who you are and what age you are, so to speak, and that's who you are. So I made up the word retroage, and there's a book on Amazon, Four Steps to a Younger You, and that's on Amazon. Now, I wrote that 20 years ago, and I followed it for 20 years. Then I came up with uninsultable. And I realized that if I'm sensitive to anybody being negative towards me, I'm going to be totally disempowered. Listen, I'm in my 60s and I'm fucking guys in there. Anyway, because they asked me on the show, the youngest guy I ever slept with, I said 19. They said, what age were you? I said, I don't know, 74.
All right.
I'm sorry. I didn't know he was 19. I thought he was 22. And of course, that totally cracked them up. Because, you know, anyhow. So I came up with the word uninsultable, and it's a chapter. And what that does is you sit down with yourself and come up with the worst possible insults anybody could say about you, the worst. And you just bring them up. Shithead, stupid, old fucking impotent, idiot, wrinkled old hag, smelly pussy, whatever you want, come up with, just come up with it. And hag, what young guy would want you, come up with all of it. Then if somebody says any of these things to you, you say, what else is new?
That's a good way of doing it. Part of it is like the way I see when somebody is expressing ambivalence. Just because they don't value what I have doesn't mean that what I have isn't of value.
The other person is not supposed to value you.
Yeah. When someone says no, it's a painful experience, but it opens up the door for new relationships with people who do value what you have. And it's a very difficult place to be. And I said, because I was talking to this one younger listener.
I'm
going to
interrupt you. You know what I'm going to say to you? Fucking get over it. Someone says no to you, you say, obviously the wrong person, and move on, honey.
Well, I think acknowledging those feelings and learning from those feelings is important too, isn't it?
Yeah, but how many times are you going to learn the same lesson? Get over it.
Well, some people are slow learners and some people are fast learners.
Those are fucking excuses. decide to be who you want to be. You want to be uninsultable. If somebody insults you, it teaches something about them and it's fucking boring.
You sound like a ballet teacher.
Well, I taught preschoolers, honey, and so there's nothing held back, like nothing. They're picking their nose in front, they step on me, they pull my hair. Everything was way out wild in the open.
It's so important to not let the betrayal or the frustrations or the rejection of past relationships interfere from relationships that you're going to have in the future. And for a lot of people, when they're hurt, they're cheated on, they're fired, and in a workplace or a relationship or a friendship. It's so tempting to lock yourself away from new relationships in the future because you're worried that's going to happen again. And so I always tell people, and this we say on the show, man's rejection is God's protection. Thank you for removing yourself out of my life so I can have relationships with people that are healthy and beautiful and loving.
I really like that. Now, listen, suppose you got in touch with me, this great Hattie who's so busy, whatever, and you call me. I say, listen, I get too many calls. Podcast, like, right. See ya. Then you say, she didn't reject me. She's a piece of shit.
I usually say to myself, they're not ready for us yet.
What I have.
Not yet, but maybe in the future.
No, don't be so kind.
You are banished from my kingdom. From my queendom. Well, part of it is like, look, you know, it's wisdom is knowing what you don't know. I feel like the wisest people that I talk to, and you're one of them, it's not that they're confident in the knowledge that they have. They're also confident in saying, I don't know, but together we can find out an answer together.
Right. I don't know, but I'll take my clothes off.
Was it hard for you to take your top off for Howard Stern and having him sort of a...
Just the opposite. I couldn't wait till he asked me.
Weren't you nervous? Why were you so eager to do that?
Because the breasts are very... they make two very powerful statements.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to undermine me, like, this old woman's going to show her breasts. I said, well, this old hag is going to show her breasts, and these are elastic straps. I'm not pulling my dress over my face.
Mm.
And so you took your top off?
In a minute.
I listened to it getting ready for the interview, and he seemed like he was really kind of happy that you were so comfortable in your own skin.
The second interview, not the first.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. The first was, I think, about 20 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was going to take my top off. I had this dress that I pulled the elastic straps down. And bullshit, I have two tits. What is the big production here? But I knew he was trying to insult me. So I thought, this is my opportunity that he can't, uninsultable. He can't insult me. So if he says, they're hangy, they're old tits, whatever, what do I care? You don't have them, so leave me alone.
Would you have liked to have Howard to have had them for a little while?
No, he's not exactly. Well, I'm not just attracted to everyone by any means. Before I meet any man, I have to talk with them on the phone. I don't text. Mm-hmm. Immediately I say, one text, I give you my phone number, you call, I meet you. If I am attracted to you and I get hot with you, we'll go up to my apartment. But if I don't, please don't be insulted. It's going to be a no.
And how often do you have to tell no to young men?
Often enough, dear.
And so how do they usually take it? Is it like, because like sometimes I deal with, you know, a lot of friends and they're doing these hookup apps and they'll show up at somebody's house and they're like, the guy didn't want to have sex with me. I'm just like, well, that's the luck of it.
That's okay. But
sometimes they get kind of angry and mad about it. And I'm just like, listen, no. You know.
Well, you have to show, there's the next word I made up. Heartectomy. Heartectomy.
It sounds like a combination of two words there.
Heartectomy is... you separate your heart, your feelings, your sense of being. You separate that from your pussy.
Mm. So get the emotion out of it.
But it's back to this, like, the pain of rejection is so intense for some people.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Cut it out. You keep repeating it and believing in it. You have to simply say, that's a concept I don't go along with.
But in Moonstruck, when Cher slapped her boyfriend and said, snap out of it. Did he snap out of it? No, he didn't.
Well, that's his problem.
It sure was.
Mm.
But so that means the person that you're connecting with is as restrained and held back as you are.
I'm very cool with it. It's part of me is acknowledging that some people have a very violent reaction to being rejected sexually, and they turn
stop
and they
using,
start
but
attacking.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Stop using the word. Get fucking rid of it. You are not being rejected. You are being told that you're not the right person under the circumstances. So goodbye and go go again. It's not a permanent life sentence rejection. There will be people who you don't favor. It's not a rejection.
So when you're offering this perspective to your clients and to people you mentor and they have a hard time understanding, how do you persuade them to seeing things your way?
What I say is, would you like to spend this hour talking, complaining about the reason you have all these problems? Or do you want to get over the problem?
I love that. Does that usually work?
Absolutely, except for those that don't. They go to another therapist who's going to say things like, oh, that must have been so hard on you. You had such a hard childhood. Oh, no, I don't commiserate with them. I say, you want to get over it? If you really do, let's do that together. It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more brash. It's a lot heat. It's a lot hotter. All this bullshit is holding you back. By the way, kids don't hold back like that, preschoolers. If they don't like you, they say, I don't like you. You're a cocky duty.
They do. Kids are honest.
Yes, they do. But that doesn't mean they don't like you. It means at that moment, they felt like calling you a cocky duty.
How's been the reaction of your honesty and sexual liberation been with your friends and family? I noticed that in past interviews, you've talked about being close friends with your ex-husband and his current wife.
No, I'm not close friends with them, but I'm not enemies of theirs.
Okay. But what is your relationship with your ex-husband right now?
Well, I just called him. He has a virus, and I called to find out if he's better, because I know it's hard for the two of them. I don't think she does have it. And I feel sad if he's not well.
Yeah. Well, part of it is like you share your life with somebody for 25 years. And I noticed this also with a lot of people who have had deep relationships with someone they don't have anymore. There's a temptation to just slice them off, cut them out of your life completely, and never speak or talk to them again. And we don't have to be the closest friends with these people, but they sometimes can be great, powerful allies in helping us.
No, he was not.
But can he have that relationship now in the future?
I have no interest in that. Honey, he's in his 80s. Let his wife have him.
he's her problem now.
Right. I got his absolutely best years. He was in his early 50s when we broke up. So after that, honey.
And what about your children? How have they reacted?
My daughter and granddaughter love it. In fact, my granddaughter's 12, and she was in her class in Mill Valley, California. They're very, very advanced progressively and everything. And, you know, they were eating yogurt before anybody knew what yogurt was. But anyway, she's in her class, and they have this class of happy stories about your grandmother. So everybody's saying, well, my grandmother, she tells me stories, you know, she gives me candy. And then some kid in class says, yeah, but you know, Tika's grandmother, she's Tinder granny. They're on the internet, and they saw me. And Tika's so proud. Yeah, I have a glam gram. You know, she loves this. She loves the idea. And she was in a car the other day on YouTube, and there's a new music video that I love. It's called Bang Bang, by AJR, three guys, Bang Bang. And she's looking, and she said, Grandma's in a music video, because it's Bang Bang. I also starred in something called I Got Bitches video. I Got Bitches video, official. And that has about 5 million hits already. It is disgusting, vulgar, it is hilarious. So you see, if somebody sees another human being who feels delicious about being this way, who feels it's a gift and it's joyous and it wipes away so much anguish, who wouldn't want to develop that? You're going against the grain, but it's a wonderful thing to take on. So young people can have it, but then they worry about this and they worry about that, and they have to hear that you go through that stuff and you go, I was going to say you go to the other end, but that has different connotations. I don't. I also think that people have to think that orgasms are fabulous.
And well, orgasms are healing. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any tips on how to have a good orgasm?
Well, I didn't used to watch porn, but I watch porn now. And with a man, I just I sense him out. It's like I could wear red high heels. I will just say graphically the sexiest thing I ever did, and this is, I don't know, it's just something I'm saying. The guy was in bed playing with himself. Oh, the sexiest thing is to watch your partner masturbate. That's very sexual. Not to be ashamed to get off in front of women. Don't want to masturbate in front of a man. Men masturbate all the time. So you just say, masturbate, I want to see. And then that eases you up to do the same thing. But anyway, so I was wearing black pantyhose and high-heeled red shoes. And I took a scissor, lethal weapon, and I pulled out the crotch, and I cut the crotch. So there you have your genitals, and a dangerous instrument cutting, and then an opening. I mean, it was really very, very creative.
Was he scared?
No, he wasn't scared. By the way, fear is the thing that turns people on anyway. People go on a roller coaster, they get a boner.
So here's like Hattie with a sharp knife or scissors mm-hmm. near my dick. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh, people like that thrill of being in public, of getting caught.
That's also good.
Have you ever had sex like in a place you shouldn't?
I've never done anything what they call kinky. Nothing. No? I've never had three men or anything like that. But when I was on the Joy Behar show, she said we were talking about sexuality. So everybody talked about their style of sexuality and whatever. So I said, listen, I have no propensity towards lesbianism, but if I really want to get hot, I turn on women sucking each other's dicks. And she says, Hattie. I said, cut it out, Joy. You're from Williamsburg. Because we're both from Brooklyn. And that's a hot neighborhood.
Are you talking about trans women with penises? Or are you talking about like cisgendered women with strap-ons?
No, I'm not talking about chicks with dicks. No, I'm talking about two women who are actually lesbians, or they're actresses making money, behaving mm-hmm. like lesbians.
Well, one thing we've discovered is that gay porn, two men having sex, is very popular with cisgendered heterosexual women.
No, not with me.
Not with you.
They're huge consumers. They're probably like the biggest buyers of the actual porn is women buying gay porn.
So much that gay porn companies make gay porn videos to appeal to women, and they have these two gay porn stars having sex with women just because to market to that audience.
Well, there's this fantasy that women have that their love will change a gay man mm-hmm. into wanting them. So that's like a fantasy of the father figure, the Oedipal concept, or the Electra complex, that daddy really wants me. Daddy doesn't want mommy. Daddy really wants me. So women somehow feel that they will be able to attract a man. Now, that's not true, guys. One thing, I have a book called A Gay Man's Guide to Heterosexual Sex, or A Gay Man's Guide for Women, you know, to teach women about sex. And I read what this gay guy, and he had a lot of good ideas, because gay men always want to do it, and straight women don't. So who wouldn't want to turn to someone who wants to eat you in the middle of the day rather than someone who's saying, I'm in the middle mm-hmm. of a thesis. I'm going, you know, there's nothing wrong with being an accomplished woman, but, you know, not to belittle the Me Too movement, which these women were horribly defiled. Yeah. And it's a disgusting, horrendous experience. And these men are scoundrels, absolutely pieces of shit, fucks. Scoundrels. Mm. Now, I would have a fantasy, not that this has happened, but for me, if I were in a position of wanting a job for, let's say, Weinstein, whatever, from who I am now, I would say, listen, Weinstein, I want a job. I want a contract. What do you want? You want your ass reamed? You want your dick sucked? Just let me know. I want my contract. To me, that has power.
Yeah, I've always wondered if people look down on Madonna or other female entertainers saying, like, she slept her way to the top. And I'm like, you think if I knew who to sleep with on my way to the top, I would have done it already?
No, we want to get to the top, away from the pussy into the tits. Now, listen, you couple with whomever it happens with. Madonna is a powerful female force. She always has been and she always will be. Her talent is not gigantic in the way that Lady Gaga's is. Lady Gaga's an extraordinarily talented woman on all levels. So she can basically do whatever she wants. She's open and she's real and she shares herself. Madonna is more of like Wonder Woman. Fine, that's her choice. But any woman who takes it upon herself to be very critical of other women, that's like a pisser.
Mm. Sure.
Now, I've met some people in their life, they'd say, like, oh, I was with this guy, but I couldn't really be with him because he was too big down there. And I've said, how is that?
I've had that.
Yeah?
I've had that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
What do you do in that situation?
Well, first of all, I ask some prostitutes what they do. And they say, I won't take it in. I did it once, and I got ripped, and I will never do it again.
You just shoot. Now, you just smack
way,
it away.
No, yeah. I say, yeah. I say, I can't take it in. I can't take it in. My mouth can open a lot wider and not a lot more safely. In fact, that has been known to happen. If you look at my Instagram, Attitudes One, it's mm-hmm. Attitudes with a nature front and the one. There is one picture of me that won a contest, a photograph, a contest. My mouth is wide open. I guess I'm laughing, but I.
Big Mouth Hattie.
Wide open. Big Mouth Hattie.
Hattie, it's so good to talk to you.
Pussy Big Mouth.
Well, that happens to older women down there. You know, things
no,
get...
No, no,
you
no,
know.
No. That's another whole matter, which we're not getting into at this point.
Okay.
I'll tell you the reason. And I'll tell you specifically. Hmm. At a certain stage, the hormones dry up.
Yeah.
They do. And the tissue that's... tissue thin and it bleeds and it hurts and you get dry. It is a fact of life. Nature does that. It's saying you're not going to have babies and I'm preparing you to die. Fine. And this is what's going to happen. So it hurts so much that you find other things to do. You just do. And no amount of lubrication changes it. It's not a question of wetness. It's a question of the tissue disintegrating. Now, it happens to be a totally safe and very rare number of doctors, very few, maybe 10 on the planet, that know how to prescribe bioidentical hormones. Now, I'm putting it out there into the consciousness because it's going to really happen. I'm one of the first people who uses it. A whole bunch of accidents had me live across the street from the man who invented them. And I've been taking them for 4 years. Everything is restored to pre-menopause level.
Wow.
So a lot of women are going to want this, and it makes sense.
Are you talking about estrogen replacement therapy?
No. That forms cancer.
Okay. So this is something different.
Very different. And they don't teach it in medical schools.
Well, so this is kind of like on the cutting edge of hormone replacement therapy, but it's not estrogen nor testosterone, it's other growth hormones and other things like that.
No, it's those things, but they're plant-derived.
Okay.
Mm.
And it seems like it's working really great for you.
Well, it's astonishing. When I learned about this clinic, I was in Palm Springs, and I met this woman, and she said her husband had this clinic, and he lived across the street from where I lived, you know, coincidentally. Because I was praying, I said, please, God, teach me how not to age in the way that my vital life force will be taken away from me. Tell me anything. Give me ideas. And I promise you, when I get them, I will put them out into the world. So that is one of my, not final, because I have some years ahead of me, but it's one of my most powerful, evolved sexual ideas that I am offering to humanity. I'm the person that's going to do it. The doctors can't, by the way. The AMA does not like it at all. They tell you it's unhealthy and you'll get cancer. When I first started, the doctor down there, they're board certified. He said to me, Hattie, if you want me to talk to your doctor, forget about it. You either choose to do it with me or forget about it.
Mm.
As it happened, my doctor was holistic, and I told him about it. And he said, well, I'm not going to fight the guy because he knows what I don't know.
Mm.
Very special guy I have.
Is there a male version of this?
Yeah, for I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah. Yes, sir. No, right. Yes, in fact. Yes, in fact. Now, if you reach me privately, because I'm not going to put this on the air.
Sure.
Because it's not yet a recognized modality. Dr. Atkins, by the way, used to do intravenous vitamins. Do you know about those?
Oh, yeah. There were big rage in the 70s.
Like the vitamin
B12 shots. My dad used to take them.
I took one once.
No, but there's 1 hour you sit with this cocktail of vitamins and minerals going through your blood.
Mm.
Dr. Atkins created it.
From the Atkins diet.
Yeah, that's the guy. He's deceased now.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife sold his practice to my doctor. And my doctor has the formula. And I can go once a week and get it in my veins.
Well, all right.
And does that help a lot? I imagine it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. With the poison food supply, the body needs help. But that's a completely separate issue. But what I'm saying is the really radical ways to be radically healthy, you have to passionately desire it. You have to have the discipline to stay with what you know is right for your body. And I'm not overly, I'm not a type A personality. I'm more of a Z. I like to sleep. But it's that you decide, you tell your body, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to pleasure you. I'm going to take from you what you're constituted to give to me as a human, not me as Hattie, me as a human. And every human has the potential to be exquisite, have exquisiteness of being, but you have to say, that's what I want. When I went to a therapist, I said, listen, I don't want to bother with my eating problems. I have trouble with my husband cheating on me. I want to be an extraordinary human being. And that's what I want to work out. If I have a temper, or if I'm impatient or disgusting or any of those things or disrespectful, I don't want to say, well, I'm only a human. I want the guidance to create me as an extraordinary human with no narcissism there. And I said, God, I want you to look down at me and say, I'm not sorry I created humans, because it was my life goal to be an extraordinary human being. And so when I speak, I could speak vulgar, I could speak whatever, off the beaten track or on the beating track or whatever. I used to be the body worker for a dominatrix parlor. I'm not into domination, but I was their body worker.
And, so were you doing like massage therapy or?
Uh-huh, yeah, I did that. I did massage therapy along with psychotherapy together. Because I felt that just talking wasn't going to work. So I did, I found body defenses and worked on them and whatever.
There's this line from Pose, the TV show, that Dominique Jackson says, I love being a dominatrix. It combines my two passions into a fabulous career, beating up men and making money.
Okay. It does. But I must tell you, though, that dominatrixes are much kinder to men and to their wives than prostitutes. Dominatrixes love what they do.
Oh, yeah.
And how they rationalize it is, if the wife isn't doing these, I don't want to take her husband away. I don't want to be a better woman.
Mm.
I want to give him this stuff that he wants. And she's going to be judgmental of it. So that's it.
Hattie, I want to express so much gratitude for you to take time to talk to us. I absolutely love you and everything that you say.
I want you to say, you're such a busy bitch, and you took it. You just were so generous with us. So I won't ever think of you as a disgusting piece of shit anymore.
No, I appreciate the time.
We appreciate your time, and we love you very much, and I love talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah,
it's my greatest honor. Thank you.
Thank you.
What are you going to do for the rest of the day?
Well, I have sun in my garden now. I'm going to go out with a bikini bathing suit and get the sun on my body.
Oh, nice. Because you're in Florida now, right?
No, I'm in Manhattan.
You're in Manhattan?
She's in New York City, honey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, I'm in Manhattan. I don't like Florida. When I have to work, I go to the Caribbean islands, and that's another place I could be really, really out there. I mean, like, really, those black women are absolutely, they're screamers, they're wild, they're just my style of person, and we both know it.
All right.
Don't hold back on anything. All right.
Which
goodbye,
island
do you...
Bye-bye. I was going to say, which island do you go to?
So Anguilla.
All right.
I live and work in Anguilla.
All right.
Hattie, thank you so much for your time.
Very cool, dear. All right. Ciao.
Take care,
thank
love.
You.
Bye-bye.
Hattie lives in Manhattan and sometimes in the Caribbean island of Anguilla.
Wow. What a trooper, huh?
Yeah, honey. Super trooper. You can learn a lot from a horny 83. She said in a year ago in an interview, she was 83 years old. So,
yeah.
You know,
she told us she was 81, though.
And in this interview, she said that she was 81. So,
well, you know, she's her last name is Retro Age. So she's, you know, whatever age she wants to be. I learned a long time ago that age is just a little number you sometimes have to lie about. Well, you know, when you're young, you want to be older. And when you're older, you might want to be younger or you might want to be older again. It all depends when you want that senior discount for something.
Yeah, believe me. And part of it is like we are all teachers to somebody. We are all mentors to somebody, no matter what age you're in. So, you know, make space to love unconditionally, to allow people to grow and to mentor. Mentoring means sacrificing a little bit of yourself so that others can benefit from your wisdom and experience. And, you know, and fearlessly be yourself. And sometimes being yourself is not going to be Hattie's idea of what you are or my idea or Mark's idea.
For sure.
You have to define that for yourself.
And, you know, there's a lot of people, they think, oh, when I get older, I'm not going to have a sex drive. I'm not going to be interested in sex. So it'll be great. Or I'm going to be sad about it. And it's just like life is what you make it. And sex is a part of who you are. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how old you get. You can still have some kind of sexual relationship.
From self-isolation in your home right
now. Yes. Well, you know, from right now in your home. But maybe, you know, if you're in Manhattan and you're across your city in your skyrise apartment and you look across the street with your binoculars and you see the guy stroking off in front of the window, then you just join him. That kind of thing. Whatever.
That is very common in New York City. Everybody has
binoculars and telescopes. They're always spying on each other. So I don't, you know.
They're very voyeuristic scene up there in Manhattan.
And when you go into like B&H Audio and Photography, which is like the big camera store there in Manhattan, on the first level there, it's all telescopes. So people are looking. People are watching. I'm sure like, you know, Chatterbait and webcam shows and all those kinds of things right now are probably very big.
Well, I noticed that there's a lot more sexually explicit persons on social media, dating apps, hookup apps, and sharing or, you know, videos or photos of themselves being sexually active in the nude. They're, as the kids like to say, sliding into my DMs.
Well, if you'd like to slide into my DMs, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Mark Fillion, also Feast of Fun.
Yes, Fausto Fernos.
Mail us at mail at Feast of Fun. If you have any questions about the website, the guests, about anything, just, you know, shoot us a line. We're always open. If you have any problems with your Feast of Fun Plus subscription, again, write to us at mail at Feast of Fun.
And you can continue the conversation with us and Hattie on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Feast of Fun. But you have to answer questions. You know what the first question is?
What is it?
What do you like about Feast of Fun?
The answer is Mark, usually.
And the second question is, What have you done for me lately? Da, 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 da. Ooh. And usually people are like, I don't know. You know, not knowing is okay. Mm-hmm. We rely on your financial support. We rely on you, dear listener, to exist, to be out there through the coronavirus pandemic. Your financial support makes this show possible. If you go to patreon.com/feastoffun, you can access videos and recipes and podcasts that other people haven't seen. And also you can access that as well on feastoffun.com/plus, where you can access thousands of legendary podcasts. Because mm-hmm. we just only have, you know, a handful here on the Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Play, you know, all those directories. You're just getting the tip of the iceberg.
Yes. Go deep. Get it all.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And visit our store at feastoffun.com/store. Get yourself a Not Shaving Gives Me More Time for Misbehaving t-shirt.
It's a classic hit. And honey, right now it's like, save yourselves from going out shopping. You can order online safely at feastoffun.com/store, and it'll come into you in the mail right away, honey, because we got nothing better to do but wait for your order to come in. We're like, did one come in today?
Orders now. Order now.
Call now. 1-800-FEAST-OF-FUN. Now, don't call that number. It's going to go someplace else. But you know what I'm talking about. You can always contact us and interact with us on social media. We love to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know what you thought about Hattie, the silver sex cougar. Are you ready to go on the prowl?
Meow.
Meow. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
All of me. Why not take all of me? Come on and reach, honey. Can't you see? I'm no good without you, at least for now. Take my lips, I want to lose them. Oh, take my eyes, I'll never use them. You know that your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. Oh my, how can I go on, dear, without you? Well, I could, but you took the part.